proportion.
It's time for Nicholas Snow Live, the podcast that's all about connecting the circuitry of humanity. Connect with us at NicholasSnowLive.com. It's not radio. It's Gadio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Nicholas Snow Live for May 6th, 2015. It is 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. This podcast goes on in perpetuity, so you'll be able to listen to it whenever. So, about a year ago, in late May of 2014, transgender icon Laverne Cox was on the cover of Time magazine. And that week at Time.com, it was, you know, of course, a significant content. And Katie Steinmetz wrote this that week. On Time's cover this week is an unlikely icon, Laverne Cox, bullied and harassed for appearing feminine while growing up in Mobile, Alabama. Cox eventually came out as transgender while living in New York City and took up acting. Now a star on the Netflix drama Orange is the New Black, she has emerged as a public leader of the trans movement, using her increasing prominent perch to make the case for equal rights and touring the country giving a stump speech titled, Ain't I a Woman? When Cox says it, that refrain is not a question. So I had the opportunity in October of 2014 to be at the National Conference on AIDS, the United States Conference on AIDS, which is produced by the National Minority AIDS Project, the National Minority AIDS Council. And Laverne Cox does the most amazing speech. The video is on YouTube. It's had over 10,000 views. But the audio of the speech, which I'm featuring in this episode, includes an introduction by transgender activist icon Tracy Jada O'Brien. Now, there's virtually nobody who does not know that Bruce Jenner is making his transition. And what I want to stress in this episode is that while I celebrate her courage, Bruce Jenner is very privileged, has a ton of money, and does not deal with the same issues and challenges that people without money are dealing with and that transgender people of color are dealing with. There's a whole myriad of complex issues that come to play, and Laverne does a wonderful job of speaking about these issues in her speech, and that's what's coming up in this very powerful episode after this.
I want to give a big shout out of thanks to all my advertisers. You'll hear the commercials during the show. If this episode had a presenting sponsor, you would be hearing their commercial right now at the beginning of the show. For information on how to secure this sponsorship, or for the contact information for all my advertisers, visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click on the advertisers link in the main submenu. Spotlight on Palm Springs.
Come to Lulu, the award-winning California bistro. Fabulous breakfast, a luscious three-course Sunday brunch, scrumptious dinners serving fresh fish, perfect steaks, pizzas, salads, and more. Something for everyone. A three-course special to savor from $15.99. The best all-day and night happy hour. There's always a party at Lulu in the heart of downtown Palm Springs on South Palm Canyon and Arenas.
New designer furnishings, sparkling cocktail rings, vintage jeans and shirts for moms, teens, boys, and flirts. Area rugs and stylish bedding design your wedding. Shiny knickknacks and glam Hollywood throwbacks. You'll find it here at Revivals. Voted best of the Valley thrift stores. Now with even more new treasures, plus one-of-a-kind consignment and estate items. Fashion, accessories, furniture, it's all in store at Revivals. Find it here. Visit us at RevivalStores.com to find a Revival store near you.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Snow. Many of you know that I am HIV positive. I'm living powerfully with HIV because I benefit from the services of the Desert AIDS Project in Palm Springs, California, and I'm very happy to bring you this news from another grateful client of Desert AIDS Project.
I'm more proactive with my health now, I think, than I was before.
And I think that's because there's other people that are being proactive with me. You know, there's people that are interested and concerned about it.
A lot of services that are very difficult to access to HIV-infected patients are gathered within one roof. We do have access to substance abuse counselor, mental health services, psychiatrists. We have dental service programs. We have nutritional programs, housing, case management. Very unique in the nation that all the programs, including medical services, are administered within one facility.
Coming here, I felt just an amazing amount of love from Desert AIDS Project. They are people who just care in the community, people who want to put a hand out and say, let me hold yours. And I think that makes all the difference in the world.
For more information, visit desertaidsproject.org.
And now, on with the snow, show, celebrating his fourth decade as a multimedia entertainment activist. Producer and host Nicholas Snow is all about honoring and expressing his life force in a way that makes a difference, while inspiring you to do the same. Reaching millions of people worldwide, Nicholas is definitely a leading primo promo homo on the go-go. Yes, over 6 feet of snow has just drifted into your podcast experience. And here he is, Nicholas Snow.
In late May of 2014, Time magazine featured a cover story called Transgender Tipping Point, featuring cover girl Laverne Cox. In October of 2014, in San Diego, at the United States Conference on AIDS, produced by the National Minority AIDS Council, I had the opportunity to hear Laverne give an amazing speech. I bring that speech to you in its entirety today. She is introduced by transgender activist icon Tracy Jada O'Brien. The week of the conference, actually the day of the conference, my video of the speech went up on YouTube. It was since seen all kinds of places, including on the Huffington Post. PAWS.com reported, at the 2014 United States Conference on AIDS in San Diego, Laverne Cox, star of Orange is the New Black, gave a speech that was simultaneously entertaining, informative, and very intimate. Quote, I stand before you today as a person who is somehow HIV negative. I feel weird even saying that. We live in a world that assumes because I'm black and transgender, I must be HIV positive. And that stigma is so crippling to me as I go out into the world and look for love and affection. That's just one of the powerful quotes from the speech that you'll hear in a moment. I also want you to know about the Transgender Law Center. Go to transgenderlawcenter.org for more information. Their catchphrase is making authentic lives possible. Their mission, they say, Transgender Law Center works to change law, policy, and attitude so that all people can live safely, authentically, and free from discrimination, regardless of their gender identity or expression. Their vision, we envision a future where gender self-determination and authentic expression are seen as basic rights and matters of human dignity. Their values are authenticity, equality, and trust. Simply go to transgenderlawcenter.org for more information about that. I went to IMDb to look at Laverne's official biography. In her mini bio, it simply says that Laverne Cox was born in Mobile, Alabama, USA. She is an actress and producer known for Orange is the New Black, Musical Chairs, and Grandma. There are 8 trivia points in her official IMDb bio. During an interview with Michael Martin on the NPR talk show, Tell Me More, she revealed that she grew up in Mobile, Alabama. She has a twin brother, musician M. Lamar, who appeared on Orange is the New Black in 2013, and of course still, in a flashback. In 2013, the twin brother appeared in a flashback as the pre-gender transition version of her character, Sophia. She was named one of Out Magazine's 100 Most Influential Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, or Transgender People for 2013. She attended high school at the Alabama School of Fine Arts, a statewide public magnet boarding and day school in Birmingham, Alabama. Admission to ASFA is by competitive application and depending on the area of arts interest audition. She started as a creative writing major before later switching to the dance program. She has spoken in many interviews about the bullying and lack of support she received from both peers and teachers as a child in Alabama. Her third grade teacher warned her mother that she was sick and would end up in New Orleans wearing a dress if we don't get him into therapy right away. As an adult in her capacity as an LGBT activist, she has lectured at many universities, including New Orleans, Tulane, where she did indeed wear a dress. She appeared on the cover of the June 9, 2014 issue of Time magazine. Oh, I stand corrected. I thought that came out in May. And was interviewed for the article, The Transgender Tipping Point, by Katie Steinmetz. This makes her the first openly transgender person to appear on the cover of Time in the magazine's history. Her nomination for Outstanding Guest Actress in a Comedy Series for her performance in Orange is the New Black at the 2014 Primetime Emmy Awards makes her the first openly transgender person to be nominated for an acting award in the history of the Emmys. The role of Cameron Worth, her character in Doubt, was written specifically for a transgender actress. In the quote, she says, "Some folks, they just don't understand, and they need to get to know us as human beings. Others are just going to be opposed to us forever. But I do believe in the humanity of people and in people's capacity to love and to change." That's from Laverne's official IMDb page. So getting back to the United States Conference on AIDS, which took place in San Diego, this speech actually took place on October 3rd. I want to say it was October 3rd, 2014. I'm pretty sure that that's correct. So it was a packed ballroom well into the United States Conference on AIDS, featuring the most impassioned HIV/AIDS activists from around the country, the majority of whom are people of color. And it was really, really powerful to be there. And the first person that comes out in this speech gets a huge, huge ovation and cheers because of her long-term work on behalf of the transgender community. So right now, I bring you the audio from that day. Tracy Jada O'Brien is who you'll hear first, and she introduces Laverne Cox. I'll be back with some final remarks after the speech, which starts now.
From that time, I've seen her speaking across the country. I've seen her giving televisions. I've seen her commanding Katie Kerr's attention about proper pronouns. I've seen her shut up Williams on her show. I've seen her, oh my God, it was just tremendous. And this past Pride weekend, I get the chance to meet her. I was at work and I was late getting there. And when I got there, it already started. And when I came to the room, we just connected like this, and we saw each other, and went half foot and embraced the generation. I'm 63. I'm happy to talk. I am so proud of my sister, my Black African American Emmy nominated sister, okay? Join me in welcoming Laverne Cox.
Some numbers when we talk about, you know, the unemployment rate, the homicide rate in the trans community, the rate of bullying, but those numbers are inadequate. And when we talk about HIV/AIDS, the numbers are even more inaccurate and inadequate. Because far too often, trans people don't count. We are left out of HIV/AIDS studies. We are left out of the count. So we don't know exactly how many. Some studies suggest that we are 50 times more likely to have HIV or contract HIV than other most at-risk populations, 50 times more likely, but we're still not sure. Now, it's my belief that one of the biggest obstacles facing the transgender community are points of view that disavow our identity, points of view that continually erase us, that suggest that we are always and only the gender that we were assigned at birth. And it is those points of view that continually erase us. About 14 years ago, I was leaving a nightclub in Manhattan, where I now call home, because that's what I did at the time. I'm still in that club. And I was approached by a couple of people who said, would you like to participate in this HIV/AIDS study? And they said to me that, you know, we'll give you $50 and a Metro card. At the time, I needed that $50 and that Metro card. At this time, I was a couple of years into my gender transition, so I was presenting as a trans woman and living full-time as a trans woman. I started my medical transition, so I go in for the study. I go in and they tell me that this is a study of men who have sex with men. And I'm going to go, great. But the parameters of the study, they don't allow us to count you and your real lived experiences and to call you the woman that you are. But would you still like to participate? We'll give you $50 in a MetroCard. And since I needed that $50 in a MetroCard, I thought I'd be better. And I look back on it, I'm like, it pains me to think about that 5 years. I participated in that study for 5 years, so I would go in twice a year to get tested for HIV, and I would fill out a questionnaire about my sexual practices for that past 6 months. And what was wonderful about the study is that I found out a lot of important information about post-exposure prophylaxis, for example, information that I probably would not have known about had I not participated in the study. I found out about cutting-edge treatment for HIV and AIDS, and that was really wonderful. But when I look back on that, I think about how many trans people out there who enter various healthcare circumstances and are misgendered, and are who have their gender identity erased, and a lot of trans folks are not going to go, even for $50 a MetroCard, into a study that disavows, that erases their identity. So, and they shouldn't have to. There needs to be more spaces that fully acknowledge who we are and acknowledge that we are the women that we say we are, that we are the trans men, some of us who say we are, or that we might not identify as either or both. And that is so fundamentally important to making sure that transgender people are counted when we look at the people who are still affected most HIV/AIDS has been a reality for me my entire adult life, my entire sexual life. I grew up in Mobile, Alabama. And I was a church going youngster. Every Sunday, I was a member of the Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church. And I unfortunately learned in church that because I was assigned male at birth, any that I might have with a man was not only a sin, it was blasphemy. It meant that I was going to hell. And my entire life, I really believed that because of the HIV/AIDS epidemic, that I was destined to die. There has always been this air of inevitability that because of who I am, eventually, I will test positive for HIV/AIDS. And there has been such a tremendous amount of shame and stigma that has surrounded me and sex my whole life. My entire life. And when I think about that, is a person who stands here today somehow still HIV negative? And I feel weird even saying that. I feel weird even saying that because we live in a world that often assumes that because I'm black and trans, I must be HIV positive. And that stigma is so crippling. It's been so crippling to me that I go out into the world and look for love and affection. Now the very first time I had sexual intercourse, I was 17 years old. And I was armed. I was a smart kid. I knew everything there was to know about condoms and lubrication, proper lubrication, and I knew that I was supposed to protect myself, and I knew how to protect myself. Yet, the very first time that I had sexual intercourse, I did not use a condom. And I had so much shame about that. I have so much shame sharing this in front of you. Oh, burn up and you're wrong. A lot of shame about that. And there's still so much stigma that we have around sex and around sexuality and what constitutes safer sex in this country. And I don't feel like we're talking about it. And I feel like it's so important that we have open discussions about the shame and stigma that we might experience still with all that we know around sex and sexuality in this country. When I think about where I just went now in my head, it's all the people who I've known, who I know now, who are living with HIV and who are virally suppressed. People who I lost in my life to HIV/AIDS, and the ones who fought, and the one dear friend of mine who didn't want anyone to know, a trans woman, who didn't want anyone to know that she was HIV positive, and so she hid it, and she didn't go and seek attention, medical attention, and she passed away because of stigma and because of shame. And when I think about that, I think that there is so much more work that we have to do to begin to lift the stigma and the shame around HIV. The stigma and shame can kill us. It really, really can. Stigma and shame can kill us. But I'm so moved by all the work that each and every one of you are doing every day. I know of so many of you who are doing that work to have those difficult conversations, to lift the shame, to realize that our activist forebears over 30 years ago called for our government to make, you know, this epidemic call for us, make it a state of emergency. They reminded us that HIV/AIDS is a social justice issue. And when we think about all of those who are being left behind, we have to remember that we have to begin to fight poverty, as already been stated today. We have to decriminalize sex work. Yeah. Sex work, practices of using condoms as evidence of sex work, are practices that we experience here in the United States disproportionately. Now, there are places like Washington, D.C. who have banned this practice, which is amazing, but I wonder, just the community knows, particularly the trans community, who trans women are disproportionately profiled as sex workers, whether they're sex workers or not, and do we have that information? So much of what I noticed as I talked to trans folks all over the country and people who are affected and notified is that there are places, the work that you're doing the work to make spaces safer for trans people to identify as themselves. You're doing that work. You're doing work to overturn policies that would have condoms be used as evidence of sex work, which is detrimental to ending the spread of this virus. But the community doesn't know. The community doesn't know about this vital work that is being done. The outreach is so vitally important. How do we get that message to the community? It's such an important point and moment that needs to be a part of our mandate so that we let everybody know about the amazing work and if there are indeed safe spaces, and to those places that purport to be safe for transgender people but might not be, there's more work that needs to be done. Because it's still a state of emergency for far too many trans people across this country. But again, we are resilient people. We have fought insurmountable odds to find and develop life-saving medications to fight this disease, this virus. And I believe that we can continue to fight the fight and to end this virus. We have to make sure that no one is left behind. We have to reach out to the people who are incarcerated, and we have to make sure that the implementation of the Prison Rape Elimination Act is implemented all across the country to make sure that every, just because you're incarcerated does not mean that you should not be protected from. If you are living with the virus, then you get the life-saving medication that you need. So I'm really honored and excited to share space with all of you and to hear about the amazing work that you're doing and to continue to fight with you. And in this moment, this mandate, thank you so much for having me.
I'll be back with some final words, but next up, my HIV awareness anthem, The Power to Be Strong. You can view and share it, subtitled in 20 languages, at youtube.com/thepowertobestrong.
Listen to
do know I'm an author. At the time of this recording, I have two books out. The first, a Living Powerfully with HIV memoir called Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart. It takes place throughout Asia and even in Palm Springs. It could be called Eat, Pray, Disclose. The second book, A Return to Brokeback Mountain, Photos and Interviews from the Historic Hollywood Premiere. To find these titles, go to NicholasSnowLive.com and click on Books in the main submenu. Hey folks, mark your calendars for early November because it's time for Greater Palm Springs Pride, Southern California's popular and longest-running LGBT festival in the Coachella Valley. Palm Canyon Drive is closed to traffic and transformed into a vibrant, pedestrian-friendly Pride Festival unique to Southern California. Palm Springs Pride is also one of the sponsoring organizations of the annual Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast, which takes place every year in May. Visit pspride.org.
The LGBT Community Center of the Desert is a nonprofit organization dedicated to enriching the lives of the LGBT community in the Valley through health and wellness, social and educational programs. The center advances its mission through a clinical counseling and internship program, senior programming, youth anti-bullying and suicide prevention support programs, a growing volunteer program, and signature special events in the community for its members and allies. For more information on the LGBT Community Center, visit them on the web at thecenterps.org.
In Greater Palm Springs, since 1979, the Desert Business Association has promoted and supported LGBT and allied businesses and professionals who join together for business promotion, economic development, educational, and humanitarian purposes. Their vision is to connect, promote, and build prosperity by embracing all members of the community to make a positive difference. They have many events every month. Find them at desertbusinessassociation.com.
This is Nicholas Snow Live, connecting the circuitry of humanity. Connect with us at NicholasSnowLive.com. It's not radio. It's Gadio.
I want to give some congratulations and thanks for people like Laverne Cox and Tracy Jada O'Brien for the powerful work they're doing in the world. I want to thank the National Minority AIDS Council for granting me media access to the 2014 United States Conference on AIDS. You can find the National Minority AIDS Council at nmac.org, nmac.org. I wanted to conclude this episode by speaking a little bit more about the Transgender Law Center. Go to transgenderlawcenter.org. Their mission, the Transgender Law Center, works to change law, policy, and attitude so that all people can live safely, authentically, and free from discrimination regardless of their gender identity or expression. In their vision statement, they say, "We envision a future where gender self-determination and authentic expression are seen as basic rights and matters of common human dignity." I want to read more about their values. Under authenticity, they say, "For Transgender Law Center and our clients, authenticity is both a standard for how the organization functions and the ultimate product of its work. For the people we serve, the freedom to live how they want to live, self-defined and self-determined, is the ultimate goal of their engagement with Transgender Law Center and the trans movement." Under equality, they say, "Too often, people who live outside of the socially enforced binary boxes of gender pay a physical, emotional, and economic toll. Whether it's a lack of access to quality and compassionate health care or an out-of-date legal system that allows blatant discrimination, equality is too often out of reach for trans people. Transgender Law Center is devoted to fulfilling the promise of equality for all people, regardless of their gender expression." And under trust, they say, "Transgender Law Center believes in the power of the law to protect those who need it and in the power of people to protect one another. Sometimes laws are the problem that needs solving, but as a legal organization, we must have faith that our system, though flawed, contains the tools we need to use the law to ensure justice for transgender people. Not only are we a trusted ally for constituents, we also trust that enough people share the belief in common human dignity that we can someday create a world where people are safe and free to express their gender in their own ways. Trust in both the law and people is necessary for Transgender Law Center to continue its work. TransgenderLawCenter.org. So, as you experience the sensation around the transition of Bruce Jenner, keep in mind that she is in a very unique situation with lots of money and lots of fame and lots of power that most people dealing with these issues do not have. So I wanted to offer a different side of the story, and I thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Nicholas Snow Live. Find all of our advertisers and everything Nicholas Snow at NicholasSnowLive.com. Nicholas uses both Twitter and Facebook to alert listeners just as he's going on the air. Anytime, 24/7, you may direct tweet at TheNicholasSnow or post your questions, comments, breaking news, and gossip on the Nicholas Snow Live Facebook page. Nicholas may very well discuss your tweet or comment on the air. When communicating with or about the show using any form of social media, be sure to use the hashtag NicholasSnowLive. You may also Skype into live broadcast from anywhere in the world. For Skype instructions and to review all the Connect with Show options I've just mentioned, simply visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click Connect with the Show in the main submenu. Nicholas also broadcasts regular video chats and interviews on his YouTube channel using Google Hangouts. So subscribe at YouTube.com/SnowBizNow. That's YouTube.com/SnowBizNow. For all of his social media links, visit NicholasSnowLive.com and click on Social Networks in the main submenu. This show is produced and copyrighted by Nicholas Snow Productions, LLC. All rights reserved. Thank you for being a part of the snowstorm. We are honored by your presence.